Welcome to the Eagle Boys. My name is Drew.
And my name is Nick.
And we hope you enjoy the show. So today we have Colin Craig with us. He is a tutor right now at the University of Cincinnati. And he has his bachelor's in physics.
And math.
And math. Welcome to the show, Colin.
How dare you forget
that. Thanks for having
me.
I know. I'm such a piece of shit.
You're such a piece of shit.
I know. I know. Usually, well, like sometimes with the show, we'll have like an opening video. So I thought we could watch that and then, you know, just go from there.
Sure. What do you got?
Stupid foods.
Urine. This is about 6 months. It's got that nice brown tint to it. And then, of course, oof, gnarly. Smells like ammonia.
No.
The research that I've shown is it's good for parasites. It's good for your gut microbiome. So, of course, we can drink a little bit and see what happens.
No, he's not.
The way I like to use it, ultimately, is topically. So you put a little bit in your hand
No. No. Just, yeah. Where do you find these people?
I have no idea.
Where?
No, I was looking up stuff on like consciousness, and then somehow I found my way into.
No, I mean it makes total sense that you'd end up on.
We have a highly educated individual with us today, and that was the first video you wanted to show.
I'm highly educated. God damn it!
Oh my God.
Don't oversell me. I hope you're talking about Drew.
Don't worry, I'm not.
So. I kind of wanted to like educate everyone on some stuff that I read recently. You know, I know this has nothing to do with consciousness, but we recorded this and then it got all fucked up because we didn't press record.
That's right.
So if it's okay with you, I want to go over it again.
Go ahead.
So I recently learned about nuclear missiles.
Oh.
And
you learned, did you?
I did. Yeah. I had no idea because I think that, you know, no one really talks about it. Mm. It's almost like it's taboo. Like let's just not talk about it. But right now, our country has 1,770 nuclear missiles. We have 44 interceptors. And Russia has the same amount of missiles that we do. So if they shoot a bunch of, you know, missiles, we only have 44 that have a 50% chance of shooting theirs down.
Yeah, I was going to say that you've done more recent research than I have, but everything I've ever read says that the odds of actually successfully shooting down intercontinental ballistic missiles are very low.
Yeah.
And it's actually dangerous to develop that technology publicly and to make it, you know, have that information be available to adversaries because that's going to incentivize them to make,
you know, more,
more and more powerful and systems that can evade those defenses. So
yeah,
it's an arms race either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's crazy how there is ballistic missiles and then there's, what's the other ones that I
short range?
Yeah. Well, they're just not as fast. Fuck. What are they?
Intercontinental.
Ah, fuck. What are they called? There's
Hypersonic,
yeah. So hypersonic.
Those are the fast ones,
right? Well, no. So ballistic missiles go Mach 23. Those are the fast ones.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then hypersonic move. I don't know how fast, but like they go like 14,000 miles per hour.
That seems like a very mixed up like naming process, though.
I mean, it confused me, and I'm a physicist.
That's what I'm saying. The physicist got confused.
Yeah,
on
yeah.
That.
No, you would think hypersonic. It means super fucking fast.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. Like what? Like where? Who decided the names here? Because yeah. They need to be fired.
So there's three phases with these missiles. There's the boost phase where it kind of just starts up, and the U.S. actually has this crazy space satellite system, and it's called SBIR. SBIR can see like a missile right when it boosts up. Oh, we got some pictures here of them. But like literally, as soon as they start, we can see it in like half a second. So that's what we have over other countries, but it's literally insane. We have, let me see, I wrote it down. So ballistic missiles can get to us in 26 minutes.
These things look like planes. They don't look like missiles.
Yeah.
They're very big missiles.
Well, some of them do.
We have 400 ICBMs. We have 14 nuclear-powered nuclear submarines, 66 nuclear-capable bomber forces.
And good old-fashioned lead.
And think. The president controls all of that. Like he's like in direct control. So like if we get some kind of like like if our radars pick up like a bunch of missiles, mm-hmm. it goes directly to the president. And then he has to say, yes, we're going to counterstrike. And you can't take that back. Once you start it, there's no taking that shit back.
That's what the famous football's for.
Yeah.
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 But there's a woman who like just wrote a book on all this and what? Yeah. Anna. She was. But no, yeah. I don't know why I felt the need to share that, but I just thought it was so surprising.
It's interesting, and you're right. It's something that there needs to be more public education about it because, you know, these are policies that affect every living human on the planet, roughly speaking.
Yeah.
So, you know, with the interest of democracy in mind, you'd think an informed public would be desirable on these issues of...
What's your plan?
What's my plan?
Yeah.
Oh,
like, if the missiles go off, what are you doing?
Well, I mean... I actually do have a loose plan.
Here we go.
So
recovering things.
This is not something I've done an extensive research on because I don't think it's something that is really knowable. I mean the intricacies of war games on an international scale are like just way too complicated to actually figure out. But there have been people that have done fairly realistic scenarios, like modeling of, you know, these are the highest value targets. This is what they're going to hit first. So in a total nuclear exchange between, say, the United States and Russia, which is really the big one to be concerned about.
Cincinnati is going to be one of them, probably.
Yes. And it's because of CVG.
Yeah.
Because eventually, if you're just launching everything you have, eventually you just start hitting civilian airports because...
Then no one can leave.
You got it right. You conceivably they could put some bombs on a passenger jet and then fly that into one of our buildings or something. So we got to take that out too.
Yeah.
Use them, you know, use them or lose them. Right. But that happens about an hour into the scenario.
Oh my God.
And that's an hour from like the launch of from the first strike or roughly from the launch of the first one. So my family plan is basically,
well, the first one is 26 minutes.
Right.
Until it hits us.
And you know, as you said, you can maybe get warning on that, you know, within a minute or so of the launch, assuming it's not a false positive, which is a whole other
thing we
can tell. There's actually a story behind
history.
That.
I was going to bring that up. There's a whole history of that.
What's his, it's a Russian name. Petrov.
Right? Yeah.
But I think that was the one I was thinking of. That's like the famous one.
This was like the 60s or 70s. I think it was 1970. No? 2 years ago from now? I think there was one.
There are like 30 or 40 incidents, I think, historically.
Oh, that's so fucked up. Because what if somebody gets it wrong?
Yeah. Well, you're thinking of the one during the Cold War.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't want to step on your toes with this
story.
No,
that's fine.
But if we're thinking of the same one, this was in a Soviet missile detection base.
Yes.
And the radar was pinging, okay, there's one missile coming. What do we do?
Well, no, there was five.
Let's wait. And another one showed up, right? And then there were a bunch on there. And
they were all coming from Wyoming.
Okay. You know more of the details than I do. but yeah, it wasn't, this wasn't a high ranking officer necessarily. But he had to say yes in order for it to be escalated beyond that local station. And
he was just
convinced, like he believed in human goodness or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't think that this is actually happening. I think this is a mistake.
Right.
And so he said, let's not do anything. And it turned out to be a glitch.
And he saved the whole world.
Yeah, he literally saved the world. He saves everybody in Russia, everybody in the United States, the Soviet Union. Like
the two of the biggest countries collapsing over a mistake.
Yeah, I just think that would be... that speaks to like... it's so much bigger than him not just making that choice. It's almost like a philosophical thing.
Yeah.
Where he is saying... No, this can't be right. And I hope a lot of people are in that room, you know, now that are like, well, hold up a fucking second.
Yeah. Well, hold your horses there, my guy.
We have 30 minutes. Let's take five to figure it out.
What's
how
scary,
far is it out? 100 miles, lands right behind him.
Right. What's scary about the present moment is that there's absolutely no communication between Moscow and the White House at this point.
Yeah,
and even back
like
then
years.
At the height of the Cold War. was it Gorbachev and Reagan? They would just have they would have conversations. They would talk about Star Wars. They'd have phone calls and talk about Star Wars.
They took the first steps. There was the Rekchev or the can you look that up, Will? It's called the Rev something summit, and that was between Reagan and Gorbachev. Mm. I would just type in Gorbachev and Reagan summit, and those were like the first steps taken towards, you know, dearming.
Yeah.
And yeah. We don't really have presidents like that.
Oh God, look at all those fucking consonants.
I don't even know how
Reykjavik.
To say that.
Reykjavik.
Reykjavik is Iceland. I only know that because I've seen it before.
The Reykjavik summit.
So it says...
Everywhere in Iceland is unpronounceable.
Summit meeting between U.S. Can you back up? Summit meeting between U.S. President Ronald Reagan and General Secretary of the Communist Party, Gorbachev. It says 11th to 12th of October 1986, and the talks collapsed at the last minute, but the progress that had been achieved eventually resulted in the 1987 Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. God, that's a mouthful. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that was like the first time that we kind of started, and now I don't even know what's going on now. There's just so much shit happening.
There's just too much going on right now, you know, man.
I have to say it. Trump almost got shot in the head.
Dude, almost got shot in the freaking head.
Do you think it was fake or not? Some people are saying it was fake. No,
dude, I want to meet the people that are saying it's fake and just punch them right in the mouth. Because tell that to the person that died. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well.
Oh, yeah, people died. That's right.
One person died.
Yeah.
Or I actually think it's two now. I'm not sure.
Really?
But I think it's two.
I know
there's
the one father. I mean, obviously two. Because the shooter and
the shooter,
and the dad that got hit, blocking his like heroically blocking his, you know, shielding his family.
Think of losing your dad that young. That's rough.
Yeah, but maybe another person has also died of injuries too.
It's a weird twist of fate.
Yeah, it's strange, and it's not like it's unprecedented. Obviously, now it's pretty intense with how hot everything is.
Can I be the one to say this?
Say it.
Like, dude, I'm surprised that didn't happen sooner.
Honestly, same.
If I'm being honest, like, I mean, think about when he first started running for president, man.
Yeah.
Like, the tensions that were in the air, and he got through a full presidency without it, and then now he's running again. It happens.
Yeah. But, you know, there's so much we don't know, right? Who knows how often somebody actually tries to kill the president?
Very true.
Yeah. They're not going to tell us unless they get close enough that there's media coverage, right?
The last time we had that was Reagan. That was the last time we had that.
Oh, so the guy's name was Corey...
Oh, that's the guy who died.
Herbert Walker?
Herbert Walker was the one who died.
Oh, that's the dude that killed? Oh, he died too. Okay.
Damn.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Wow.
RIP to that guy. Heroic. If you ask me. Shielded. Not the guy who shot Trump. Not that guy. He can rot for all I care.
It said shielded my body from the... What, can you go back to it real quick? I just want to see that one line.
Also, let's talk about how the guy that was the one that did it, the Corey guy or whatever the hell his name was, like, he looked like it's not right in the head, right? Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
Well, they're always going to find the least flattering picture they can of the shooter. Yeah. But
they didn't want to show him at prom something.
If you decide you're going to do something like that, you're deciding to die. Usually that's one of two reasons. You're either dying for a cause you really believe in, or you're deeply unwell. And quite possibly both. You know, it could be argued that anybody that's willing to die for a cause has something a little bit wrong.
Yeah.
I can truly say there's not a cause in this world that I'd be ready to die for. There are people in this world I'd be ready to die for, but not a cause.
That kind of reminds me of like the Marilyn Manson and how he like convinced all those people to kill others.
All those people.
Oh my God.
To just be
not Marilyn Manson.
Charles Manson.
Manson. Whole different.
I do that all the time. I get shit mixed up all the fucking... I ask these guys.
Marilyn Manson.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Marilyn Manson also had a cult.
Yeah.
Seems like the type, but I'm not...
Who does he or she think he or she is?
or they or them.
That's obscene, maybe.
So, I wanted to ask you about this, Colin.
Yeah.
What do you think about the idea that materialism kind of promotes innovation?
It depends on what you mean by materialism.
Okay, let's so start like people wanting that. To like buy shit.
Yeah. So okay, because I only had to clarify because we are theoretically talking about consciousness, but if we get to it, that's fine. If we don't, it was just a jumping off point.
Oh no, we will. I have I have stuff.
So you're talking more consumerism.
Yeah. I mean, and plus we have like an hour anyways.
Yeah. I mean, I got however much time we need. So it's a mixed bag, right? Mm-hmm. Because consumerism does lead to market pressures that incentivize people to invest money in developing new technology.
Yeah.
But quite often the outcomes aren't good for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you could argue that the state of the world today is largely a product, like all the problems in the world that we're touching on in our conversation is largely a product of the unintended consequences of people trying to chase market shares, basically.
Or like the new iPhone. You know, you see your friend with like the iPhone 15 or you know, 16 and you're like, oh, I got to have that. It has a nicer camera. It has a nicer this and I have to get it. And I think that people just buying more and more stuff will make companies say, hey, we need to make better stuff than, you know, whoever else. And that kind of just fuels like ideas and like innovation.
I think that works up to a point. But what we're starting to see here is that you've got a very small number of companies that control the majority of most of the markets that they're participating in. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to actually innovate because they can just crush innovators. Right. So like you could have the best idea for a smartphone that anyone's ever seen. There's this small company in Europe. I forget what they're called. I haven't thought about it in years. For a while there, I was really hung up. Like, I want to get an ethical phone. It's like,
Nothing phone.
Oh yeah. No, what are those called? Can you look up what's
that
called?
Remember what company it is, but they make modular phones. They might've gone out of business by now for all I know, but they make modular phones. Every component is modular. So you can take it out and put a new one in. It's like a PC where you can get a new graphics card.
Hmm? Can't you do it with like a Pixel phone?
I don't know. I've never had Pixel.
I remember there was a phone where you could take everything out.
Years ago. And there might be other competitors that are doing it. But, you know, this is Fairphone.
Fairphone. Yeah, that's right. $500 Android phone. Because, like, and I was talking about this last time, all of our phones are from slave labor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's insane.
iPhones and everything. Yeah.
Use them because there's.
We're all complicit then.
Right.
Like, but we don't really have a choice because, like, personally, I need a smartphone to clock in on my job. So I kind of have to have one. So we don't really have the freedom to even protest. Like, we couldn't change the system if we tried. We could, you know, boycott and campaign and lobby. Mm-hmm. We couldn't change it if we tried. But we don't even have the luxury of just refusing to participate.
Yeah, because we can't.
Because we can't. It's not the way to function in modern society.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have it. So, yeah, I mean, I think to a certain extent, those market pressures do spur innovation because up to a certain level of development, innovation is what's actually driving development. But I don't think that's where we are anymore. I mean, the difference between the newest iPhone and the previous iPhone is like nothing. Mm-hmm. The reason they're making a new iPhone is because they want you to throw away the old one and buy a new one. Yeah. Their incentives are all to make them as disposable as possible so that you can buy a new one as fast as possible and to turn any software that's on it into a subscription service so you pay for it every month instead of once because that's the only way to have profits that never stop going down.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I think that's how it's going, honestly, with like even like dev companies for gaming and like streaming companies.
Oh, my
God. Think about it. Disney bought out Hulu. That was a competitor.
Yep.
ESPN Now, they bought them out.
Yeah.
You know, bundled them all up in a singular package. But where's all the money going?
Did you hear about Disney. EA? So EA was talking about charging people to play by the hour.
That was an idea that I heard about.
And then everyone just like pirated their games and they were as a giant fuck you.
I'm not even going to lie to you. Once I saw the changes that they made to Apex Legends, where you couldn't use Apex coins anymore to buy the battle pass, you have to buy it no matter what, $10. And that $10 doesn't even get you the full battle pass. It gets you half of it.
Oh my God.
And then you have to buy the other half for $10.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, this is the back end of what, you know, capitalist innovation looks like. At a certain point, you stop improving the product and you start degrading the quality of the service while raising prices because you can't continue to improve something forever. At a certain point, you've got realistically the best product you could ever hope to deliver.
Right.
And then you're going to go out of business because everybody's going to buy one and have it and be happy.
Right.
Because it's not enough to just be profitable. You have to make more money every quarter than you did the previous quarter, or you're a failing business.
Right.
So this growth incentive is forcing companies to do these really gross things that violate consumer protections all over the place.
Well, I mean, I think companies have to account for like inflation, but is it really so bad at the point where they have to raise profits that much?
I mean, you're not wrong. And that's at the core of it, right? Is that our whole system is built around, returns on investment, which means that the total amount of money has to grow over time.
Right.
It's not a sustainable system. That's why also, we have boom and bust cycles.
It used to be.
Wait. We have what?
Boom bust cycles. That's why we have recessions. Like a recession isn't like a glitch in the system. It's the system working as intended. The system is designed to have a recession every couple of decades.
So everyone's just poor so that we can be, you know, have more money later on.
Yeah. So if you have a lot of money invested in the system, then when there's a recession, you have liquidity so you can buy up all the assets that all the poor people had to sell to be able to like pay their rent and stuff. All their assets, you know, go down in price. And then the people that like, the rich people that have lots of assets and liquidity, their assets go down too, but they've got liquidity so they can buy up all the other cheap assets. Mm-hmm. They buy the tasty dip.
Honestly, right? He's not wrong.
That's how Warren Buffett is so rich.
Yeah.
Every time there's a recession, he gets richer because it does go up in the long run because the whole, it's a temporary contraction, but on the whole, the system keeps expanding. And every time there's a contraction, the people that have the most wealth scoop up a bigger chunk of the wealth from the people that have the smallest amount. And that's why
eventually the cycle has to come to a point where you can't like have that. Cause it's kind of like you're like recycling the economy, but at some point it's not like a renewable resource if you keep taking from the roots.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's a zero sum game. All the money is just being funneled to the top.
Yeah. I think I saw a, like a diagram or a graph, and it showed the total amount of wealth held by the 1%. Can we try and find that, Will?
I was just about to quote that, but I knew I was going to butcher the numbers, but
I don't even know.
99% of the world's wealth is owned by the richest 1% of people on the planet or something. Yeah. It's obscene. It's obscene.
By the 1%, I would type in graph and it might, I literally just watched
it. It is pretty obscene. I remember actually looking at this. It kind of makes you sick. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. It's like, there is so, but then it kind of shows you, no, this isn't the graph that I was looking at. Can we, but yeah, so there is something else. You know, if we can move into consciousness, I kind of want to take it back all the way to when we were evolving. So in the span of 2 million years, the human brain size doubled. And it's like it's one of the biggest mysteries. Like, how did this happen? And there's some theories like the Stone Ape theory.
Stone Ape
theory. Yeah. To where like apes like
Terrence McKenna.
Right. Where they like took like mushrooms and shit. And then that psychedelic experience expanded their brain over time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's crazy how like even like the CIA, they had like Operation.
Oh my gosh,
I wrote it down. Operation Climax, and they would literally or they had Operation Midnight too, where they would get people high on like psychedelics. And this is the fucking CIA, and they would just watch them. And they even had a gay bomb. They would like try and like explode this bomb over cities and make everyone gay. But I'm like, you're forgetting about the fucking Spartans. They were all gay and they were like one of the best armies.
Like, what
ever.
Are you trying to achieve with this?
Right. But no, I think it's insane to think like how did we like develop that fast? And then that kind of like brought me to the conclusion. I went down a whole fucking rabbit hole. So now I'm thinking it has to do with aliens.
We always have to go back to the aliens. That's what it always comes back to, isn't it?
Yeah, they're affecting all of our minds.
But see, I see the stoned ape theory as being like one of the more practical, just because somebody had to discover that.
Yeah, well, and there's I mean, plenty of evidence. Like, there are still extant indigenous cultures that have rituals around psychedelics. History is littered with examples of that. It's clearly a very normal and natural part of human society, at least as it's existed for the past, you know, 10,000, 100,000 years.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes
but
sense.
The thing is, like, I'm a man of science, right? But
as am I
think a really important aspect of being a scientist and thinking scientifically is knowing the limitations of what you know and knowing the limitations of your methods.
Yeah.
And the problem with trying to answer questions like this is that we can't actually answer them. The information that we would need to answer them is gone irretrievably. It's gone in the sense that, I mean, like, we have the evidence here today. Yeah. We have these brains. We're having a podcast with this incredible technology that we made because we have these crazy brains.
Right,
but like
right.
the exact mechanism by which these brains came to be is pretty much forever lost to us. You know, the proof is in the pudding. The brains are here, but teasing out exactly how they got here is basically an impossible challenge. Now it's fun. It's interesting. And
makes
it's
for
fun
good conversation.
To speculate. Yeah, absolutely.
It really does.
I think it's important to keep that in mind that it can only ever be speculative.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit different when we're talking about things like the fossil record. And so I like to talk about and write about the development of humans because I think it's really fascinating.
You tell me one time that like our whole, like the worth of our dollar and our whole economy is based on the production of oil?
I mean, that's...
Sorry, that was so random.
No.
That was out of left
field. Mean, it is random. We can go off on tangents. It's your show.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the concept of the petrodollar that you're referring to.
Okay.
And that is basically the idea that after we fell off the gold standard because we wanted to expand our economy. Your economy is limited by the amount of money you have in circulation. The amount of money you have in circulation is limited by the amount of gold you have in a vault somewhere. That's not an economy that can grow beyond the amount of gold you have.
Do you think it was a good thing? That
it was a necessary thing.
Okay. Okay. Right?
So whether it was good or bad, it was necessary in order for the economy to keep going in the trajectory that it was.
Right.
It was a thing that had to happen for the system to grow. So, but okay. So now we've got this fiat currency, right? How do we make sure that it's worth something? And the arrangement that was set up was the OPEC, oil-producing Emirati countries or whatever.
Yeah,
it
I remember
for.
That.
They made an agreement with the United States that, okay, we've got all the oil. We're going to pump this oil and sell it to the rest of the world.
Are you talking about like Iran, Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia, not Iran.
Iraq?
I don't know if Iraq is an OPEC or not.
Can we look up who's an OPEC real quick?
It's a bunch of countries. It's a cartel, right? And that cartel in the real sense of they participate in price fixing.
Yeah.
On purpose, deliberately, openly. And it's because the system that's set up is they get certain favors from the United States. You know, of course, Saudi Arabia gets like $4 billion of jets and guns and bombs every year from us.
Yeah.
So that they can be super authoritarian and oppress other nations and kill tons of civilians.
But
in exchange, what they do for us is they only sell their oil in dollars. So if you're a country that doesn't produce its own oil and would like to buy oil, and you're not buying it from Russia, then you have to have U.S. currency on hand. Because when you go to OPEC and say, hi, we'd like to buy some oil, please, they say, we only accept USD. And you go, shit, well, we better go borrow some money from the United States. And the United States sells them bonds or whatever, however that system works.
That is so insane.
So the value of
that's
the dollar...
That's such a crazy system.
It's worked beautifully up until
now.
God. Right? But what that system does is it guarantees that we have to keep drilling oil forever. Because otherwise the United States economy collapses. Because our dollar becomes devalued overnight. Because the only reason we can keep printing more and more and more money, and that's what quantitative easing is, back in the 2008 collapse when they said, we're going to do quantitative easing. It was, let's print trillions of dollars.
The countries are Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and Venezuela. And then others are Qatar and Indonesia, Libya,
United Arab Emirates, Algeria, Nigeria, Ecuador, Gabon, that's how you say it, Angola, and then Equatorial Guinea and the Congo.
Of course the Congo. We get like everything.
Congo was 2018, though.
We get cobalt from the Congo.
Mm.
Yeah. They probably just found fucking oil there.
Probably.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, so that's the petrodollar system, and that's what props up. That's how we can get away with printing trillions of dollars and not devaluing our currency. What's happening though is it's not like safe actually, because there are trillions and trillions of more US dollars in circulation than there really should be.
Make sure you're closer to the mic. No, it's all good.
There's trillions and trillions more dollars in the United States economy, or in the global economy, than the United States economy really needs. Mm-hmm. And it's because the demand for the dollar is global.
Yeah.
Right. And so if another country was able to destabilize the system, like mm-hmm. Russia. I mean, and this is why the United States and Russia are enemies. It's not ideological differences. You mm-hmm. know, it's not because Putin's an authoritarian. It's because they're a direct threat to our financial system, because they're not a part of OPEC, and they can sell oil to whoever they want. Who do they sell oil to? They sell it to China. That's why we're enemies with China. You know, it nothing to do with ideological differences. It has nothing to do with communism. Let's be clear. It's because China buys its oil from Russia, and that threatens the petrodollar system, which allows us to print as much money as we want and sell it to the rest of the world and not devalue and debase our own currency.
So OPEC is basically why we're still the richest country in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah.
It's a sweet deal. I'll tell you what. I mean, what a scheme.
Where did you find this guy again? This guy's smart as hell. Did you find this guy?
I'm blushing.
So Colin actually taught me how to hold up, let me fix this. Colin taught me how to do calculus.
Okay.
So everything mathematic that I know, like derivatives, antiderivative proofs, theorems, all that shit that you get from Calc 1 and Calc 2, I learned from him basically. So he's literally, dude, I would go into the fucking math lab and he'll just be like jumping from place to place, showing people how to do like different things. You are the most gifted mathematic person I've ever met.
Stop.
Seriously.
I'm being so serious. You guys don't fucking like get it until you see it in practice, but it's literally like the way that you're able to like recall proofs and maths, and then like the way that you can explain it to people is so like I never would have got anything in math, you know, if it wasn't for you and Grant. Like, you guys basically helped me.
Grant's the best. He's great.
Grant is
our volunteer. So he does it for free because he just likes helping people.
I love it.
No, Grant's awesome.
I love it.
But so Grant actually lives in Loveland, and I would just go over to Grant's house, and he's like 82, and he would just help me do math. Like, he's just such a smart. He used to be a surgeon or something like that.
Yeah, he was an ER surgeon.
Yeah, which is crazy. Yeah. And he's a mathematical genius. Like, some people.
So that's what he does for fun.
Yeah, no.
Now that he's retired. Yeah.
He does math for fun. It's crazy how.
It couldn't be me.
Some people are just at this, like, higher level of, like, consciousness and like thinking.
See,
okay, right?
So I see the segue you're trying to do. I want to push back on that a little bit.
I've been doing this for a while. I'm okay at segues now.
Just because, and this is what I'm constantly telling students that are like, they're doubting themselves. They're like, they come to me all the time. I get this every single day. Now I'm not really very good at math. I'm like, I mean, how much time have you spent on it?
You have to put the time in.
You got to put
the
time in.
There's no way around that shit.
And it, you know, I'm not going to debate that there are definitely some people that are really gifted at math. But I think that what it really means to be gifted at something is that you have a passion for it. It doesn't mean that you were born with a special part of the brain that can do math that other people don't have. It means for whatever reason, circumstances developed in your life where you were like, this is something I want to spend a lot of time on because it gives me joy. Right.
So you wanted to put that's the difference, is that you wanted to put the time in.
Exactly. And that's how it is for like
when there's chemistry. When it's effortless to put the time into something, you will master it. And you won't even realize you're working. You won't even realize you're doing work because you're just doing it for the joy of it. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, I'm really flattered all the kind things you're saying about
me. I'm being dead serious.
That's how I got good at it. That's how I got good at it because I enjoy
math. Were you that good when you first started teaching it to people?
No, absolutely not. That's the thing is I've been doing tutoring. See, I started picking up odd jobs when I graduated because I couldn't find work in industry because it was 2012 and the economy was in terrible shape. And I was competing with engineers that had 15 years of experience and also couldn't find a job. That's a good question. I don't think that I'd want to.
If we get too personal,
I don't think that I'd want to. I'd have a really hard time finding an industry that I'd feel good about working in. Mm. But the main component. I think I've got better social skills than than I did when I graduated.
Yeah.
I was never good at interviews. Super nervous.
You cracked me up. We'll be in the math lab and then he'll just be going on like a tangent about like the politics or like whatever the fuck.
It's insane what they let me get away with in there.
It's
really,
it's so crazy. We'll even be talking about like trans rights or something, just something totally like
non-math related,
right? Non-math related, and Colin is just going on a tangent, and it's so fucking funny. I'll be sitting there like laughing to myself while I hear him like fucking explain how social media is like promoting a certain narrative or something. Colin's just going on a fucking tangent.
Okay, so Hillary Clinton and Oprah are part of a secret club that drinks children's blood for money, and it keeps them youthful and it keeps them in power. Quick question: do you know what pedophilia is? Wait, hang on, let me show you.
Please don't show me.
There's a book that I want to talk about, and it's called The Book of Five Rings, and it's by Miyamoto Musashi. And he was a samurai that lived like hundreds of years ago. I think it was in the year like. Can we look up what year Miyamoto lived? But he wrote this like book on like kind of like philosophy. Like you can't just be a warrior; you also have to be like a father, and you have to balance. It's it's basically like a
dishonor,
like a book of like balance.
Oh, dishonor. I always think of, when I think of that word dishonored, I think of Mushu from Mulan.
So it says,
oh, hell no! Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow! Dishonor on your family!
But it looks like he lived from 1584 to 1645. So he killed 60 men in sword combat. And he got so good at it that he would just beat guys with like wooden sticks. They would have a real sword and he would just bring a stick and he would just beat the shit out of them and kill them. Like, it's literally crazy.
That's pretty badass.
But yeah, no, that's a good book. I think, you should take a look at. Mm-hmm. That was kind of, what I've been interested in reading recently. So
I actually had a question for you. Speaking of consciousness, what's your idea of subconsciousness? Does that fall into a real sense of consciousness to you, or is that like just pure instinct, your imagination?
Yeah, so that's kind of where I was thinking we might start with like talking about like what is consciousness, because it's a hard thing to pin down.
Yeah.
And to me, when I say consciousness, I just mean that persistent sense of existing, of being there. I think a lot of philosophers have used the phrase, to say something is conscious means that there is something that it is like to be that thing.
Wait, say that one more time.
That's a great phrase, right?
Just fuck me up.
You see how I had to think about it?
Yeah.
To say that something is conscious is to say that there is something that it is like to be that thing. Okay. If I say a bat is conscious, then that means there is something that it is like to be a bat. And I absolutely believe
self-awareness.
It's kind of self-awareness, but when you say that, you got to be careful, because it's like, are you talking about like recognizing the self, like a mirror test? Like some types of birds can recognize themselves in a mirror. Like if you put a dot on them, corvids, crows and ravens, they're really smart.
Yeah. They can talk and shit.
And they have like culture and stuff. It's weird. So as far as like subconscious or what's unconscious, that's definitely part of it, but it's not, obviously, as by its very nature, it's not something you're really aware of. Mm-hmm. Cause consciousness has layers and there's all this stuff going on under the hood that you don't have access to, in the same way that like you can sometimes feel your stomach and you can feel your heartbeat, you can feel your lungs, but you can't feel your spleen.
Yeah.
Unless there's maybe something really
point.
Wrong with your spleen. Like if you ever think about that, like, there is so much that's going on inside of our bodies that we're not consciously aware of. It's kind of automated. It's just going on its own. You don't notice it unless it goes wrong.
All
and
the
then you typically have to like do a lot of diagnostic work to figure out what is wrong.
Yeah.
And that's just the way evolution works, is that there isn't a pressure for there to be a sensorial awareness of kidney function. Mostly because historically, if your kidneys stopped working, you just died. So it wouldn't be adaptive to develop the ability to feel your own kidneys.
I think
you wouldn't be more likely to pass on your genes.
I see.
Like our senses are very important in our consciousness, because I think there's a diagram of this in like psychology. I forget who made this up, but the extremities of the man, in the picture, so his hands were large, his dick was huge, but that was in proportion to how those things affected how he thinks.
Okay. Yeah, I see.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So his legs weren't really that big. He had a huge dick. His hands were huge. His nose was very large. There was just like a bunch of like I don't know how he made this up. I don't know if we can possibly look that up. I don't even know what you would type in for
good
that.
Luck.
Hopefully like porn doesn't come up or something.
It probably will. It probably
that
will.
That actually already
just
happened.
Just type
to
in
us.
Huge dick and you'll
huge
find
dick yeah. Vitruvian man.
That's what I was thinking. It was Vitruvian man.
Vitruvian man huge.
Yeah, so that's like an interesting aspect to it, right? Is like I mean I like to do the thought of experiment of like what if I had no sense of smell? So I know what it's like to be me with able-bodied. I've got all my senses working as far as I know.
Yeah.
What would it be like to not have a sense of smell or sight or hearing or touch? I would still think that would be consciousness. It would be a limited consciousness because you would have no access to the outside world.
Okay.
It might be like being in a coma. Scary thought, right? Being trapped in a body but having no access to the outside world.
That's awful.
Keeps people up.
I've often thought of that as well. When you're in a coma, everything still works naturally. Like you're still breathing, but you're not in control.
Yeah.
It's almost like somebody else is.
Mm-hmm. What's even worse is like the movie Saw. I have this like irrational fear that I have done someone wrong or like something happened.
And they're going to kidnap you and put you in a Rube Goldberg machine?
I swear to God.
Where you have to torture yourself?
No, I have to check my door every night. And I'm like, no one's going to be shooting me up with heroin and take me to a basement. I'm fucking...
I was going to say, what have you done? Like, what kinds of people have you wronged that's your concern?
I don't know. It's
you
just...
must have wronged the wrong people.
Oh, my God.
This is why you treat everyone with kindness? So that they don't saw you.
Yeah. Do we need to look at the most wanted list? Like, are you going to be on that?
No, I'm cool. I'm cool. I just got a ticket for having bad tags, but...
Someone's definitely going to be kidnapping
you. It was $130. I was like, God
bad tags.
Freaking...
Bad tags. You're a bad person.
Yeah.
But so I am. If you remove all those elements, you still have consciousness, right? And the day-to-day consciousness is kind of built up of all those... sensory experiences, but there's definitely something there beyond that, right? And so I kind of look at it like consciousness is like the...
Do you think if you grew up in my life, you would be me?
Yeah. Like, I think that we all have the same consciousness.
Yeah.
And I mean that on a couple different levels.
Like
mind? No, it's not, because obviously I don't have access to the contents of your consciousness and you don't have access to the contents of my consciousness. And like the really, like the big existential problem is you can only ever know that you are conscious, right?
Yeah.
Because for all I know, every human being that I've ever interacted with
is a robot.
Is a robot.
Is a gay robot.
I can't really know that either, right? I can't really know what someone's preference is or what their innate nature is from the outside, right?
Yeah.
All I have to go on are these like external signals of the way people behave and what they say and what they do, but I have to trust that there's something behind that. You can't measure it. And this is one of those limitations of science where I think a lot of scientists think that conssciousness is just the next big puzzle that we're going to crack.
Do you think AI is going to have consciousness?
No.
Okay. They have like these like I was gonna say droids. I've been playing Star Wars too much. They have these drones that will travel in packs and they'll have their own AI code with one human, but they'll have this whole language that they can talk to each other in so that no one can like hack it. But I don't see that being any more dangerous or any less dangerous than people being able to hack it. Because what if they decide, oh, we don't want this human in here anymore?
It all depends on who has access to the technology and what their incentives are.
I mean,
let's be clear here. Right now, the government, basically every government, because this technology is cheap and ubiquitous, every government on the planet has access to facial recognition. If they do decent surveillance on their populations, which
when
our
I went
country
through customs,
does huge surveillance on their population.
When I went to Italy, they did facial recognition for my passport. It was crazy.
Yeah.
They literally looked at my face and scanned me up and down. I was like, God damn it. If there's ever like martial law, I'm fucked. Yeah. They got me.
So they've got access to databases. This isn't just the United States. This isn't, you know, fear-mongering conspiracy type stuff. This is just a statement of fact. Like, the technology is at the point where we've got facial recognition software. We've got cheap drones, like really cheap drones.
$100 off Amazon.
Yeah. And for a government, that's nothing. You know, you buy 10,000 of those on a whim, right?
The mic isn't
The
mic isn't getting you.
Uh-oh. Is it getting me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll let you know. It's all good.
You know, you put a little bit of C4 on one of those drones,
mm-hmm.
and you program it to fly into the face that it has in its, you know, that it's being told to by the software. Like, this guy's a political dissident. Fly into his face and detonate. Every country on the planet has access to that technology.
That's insane.
The only thing that's missing right now is an incentive for them to deploy it.
Yeah.
That's just the state of technology. And again, like we were talking about nuclear weapons earlier, this is something that most people aren't aware of. And there's I don't know if the website's still there, but stopkillerrobots.org. I think it's a .org.
Fact that we have that.
Right? Yeah.
Today, there's a local man whose sex robot would not engage in sexual contact.
Oh, yeah, that little thing. A Florida man today claims that his sex robot denied him. Today, we bring you the eyewitness exclusive of this shocking report.
That's a good delivery.
You know, I do a good news, man. That's one thing I pride myself on.
I respect that.
Oh, my God. This is a thing.
Facial recognition favors light skin and outwardly masculine faces over dark skin and outwardly feminine faces. Wow.
This is a group of scientists that are worried about AI and drone technology.
Oh, so these guys have doctorates.
Yeah, these are people that roughly speaking know what they're talking about.
Just because you have a doctorate doesn't really mean shit, honestly. You can still be a biased idiot.
But it's better than, you know, random people on the internet.
That's true.
You can at least have some kind of... Like, okay, they've maybe gone to school and learned something.
They've got something. They got something.
Everybody's
got
an opinion, right? Everybody's got an opinion.
My whole thing. My whole thing about the AI and consciousness, and I agree with you. I don't think it's ever going to become actually conscious. Yeah. What I think it's going to become conscious of is, like they've always said, AI is a problem solver. And so far from what we've seen in human history, it's going to try to solve the problem of why our Earth is failing. What's the problem? Us. We are the problem.
Yep.
And someone's going to not code their shit, you know, properly one
Kill
day.
Kill all humans.
And it's going to try to figure that problem out. And the problem is going to be answered. Get rid of humanity. And what's it going to try to do? It's going to try to do whatever it is necessary to get rid of humanity.
They actually just made, there's a company in Japan who just made a robot that literally is made from like human skin that they grew in a lab. Isn't that fucking insane?
Yeah, that was that robot I was telling you about that was on that dating show.
Wait, when did you tell me that?
Like on the second episode.
Oh, no.
Oh, on the second episode we did ever?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Oh, dude. I've seen that picture.
Oh, no.
So...
This is absolutely something we don't need to be doing. Let's just get that out of the way.
They put Google Eyes on it.
Actually, this is not the same one. Never mind. This is not the same one. But yeah, that looks like something that we shouldn't be doing.
How far away do you think we are from like robots?
They got a picture of the Terminator.
Yeah. I don't think the AI that we have right now can reason. Sorry. I don't think the AI we have right now can reason. I don't think that they're anything remotely close to reasoning.
Yeah.
Because reasoning requires, I think reasoning requires consciousness.
That makes sense.
You need to have some kind of a theater in which all of this can play out. And I was kind of starting to say that earlier, like the consciousness is the theater in which that gets filled by sensation and thought, right? Sensation of your external environment
mm-hmm.
plus internal thought equals, you know, reasoning, logic, math, science, all that stuff. The AI that we have right now, they're just mimics. They can't actually reason. All they can do is copy reasoning that other people have done.
Do you think that you kind of have to have like a reference point in terms of feelings. And so like all of our hormones and synapses that give us feeling, like emotion.
Yeah.
Do you think that plays a role into our consciousness?
Absolutely.
And that, you know, AI lacks that. They lack the hormones. Do you think there's ever going to be a way for them to artificially create these hormones and have a system in which they are released in terms of some kind of like if you're touched or if a robot's touched in a, you know, certain spot, do you think they can like recreate all of the processes that a human body goes through to like develop reasoning, but put it in a robot?
I don't think you can do all that in silicon. I think that's the.
I don't think so either.
But here's the thing: is biotech is advancing too, and nobody's talking about it because Silicon Valley is like the big headline maker.
Even
in
for
US.
Like weapons manufacturing, they are like scaring Lockheed Martin.
They're selling AI to the military, right?
Yeah, and so they're doing everything cheaper and faster than like Boeing, Lockheed Martin.
But then you got people like
fucking Raytheon.
You got people like these, you know, these photo and video editing companies that are just packaging this cheap AI and throwing it out to the public saying, hey, you want any picture in the world made?
They are dominating the...
Type in a prompt and we'll give you a picture.
You can watch like Putin.
Just to keep people in the dark of what's really going on with that type of technology.
So like you can deep fake any celebrity's face onto anybody. Mm-hmm. And you can
anybody.
Just make any kind of fucking porn you want. Like, mm-hmm. It's terrible.
Like, it's honestly horrible. If you doom scroll like Pornhub or something, you'll see all those deep fakes on there.
Oh,
you know
geez.
What I mean? It's honestly disgusting.
Yeah.
It's
but
like,
it's like, who do we hold accountable for that? Because like, it's not like you're harming anybody.
Well,
except for the
celebrities. I'd say the people that are being deep faked are being harmed.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that a lot of these celebrities that are being deep faked are taking legal action with this. Like, for example, there's that guy Glorb on YouTube who does all those like drill and trap SpongeBob raps.
Hmm.
Pull one up right now. Just type in the bottom two. It's honestly the most hilarious thing in the world.
Is it on YouTube?
It is on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Literally the first one. So basically this guy, as you can see from his profile picture, he keeps his identity safe.
Yeah.
And when he does interviews and stuff, he does the same thing and changes his voice because people would come after him legally, even though this is like stupid and whatnot.
Mm.
It's still, they're using other people's voices and likeness for entertainment that they're getting paid on,
which is wrong.
Yeah,
which the people who did these voices or are these, you know, these big artists and rappers, singers, whatever, they're not getting paid for it, and they see that as wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Check this out real quick.
Oh my God.
This is where AI has come to. Like, that's Plankton's voice.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I've seen some content creators that do that.
This is like this is like new age rap with... Was this made by AI?
See, yeah, it was.
I mean, a person made this, but the AI is being used to fake the voices.
To fake the voices, yes.
Right. So... this is something I have really mixed feelings about, right? Because on the one hand, artists should be compensated for their work, right? I would prefer a system under which people can just produce art because they enjoy it and they don't have to sell it. They don't have to whore themselves out, whore out their art. Shouldn't use that word. But they wouldn't have to sell themselves, sell their art, turn their art into a marketable commodity in order to be able to eat. I would like to live in a society where people just have food available and can do art because it brings them joy and they don't have to sell it. But given that we live in a society where people have to have money to eat, it's bad that artists are having their likeness or their voice or whatever used without their permission. On the other hand, that hurts someone like, I don't know, the SpongeBob voice actor.
I forget his name, but yeah.
Something like that hurts him very little.
Yes.
But that same technology is being used to steal from artists that don't make a living doing their art.
Exactly.
That's where I really have the problem. And I feel like we kind of, if I'm gonna stand up for those people, then I kind of have to treat everyone equally.
Exactly.
Like that's a more high profile case of it, and it's someone that doesn't need the money.
See, my
hey Will,
Tom Kenny.
Will you look up the people that get hurt? And look
again
at
the little guys.
Yeah.
And YouTube is a hotbed of this. There's a tremendous amount of theft on YouTube, and most it's recently. Bigger channels stealing from smaller channels.
Well, also, here's my thing about it. So the way that guy Glorb did it was very satirical.
Yeah.
Obviously, that was using SpongeBob's voice to do a hot drill song with Mr. Krabs, Squidward, all of them, whatever. Highly satirical.
Yeah.
But if somebody is using
that was
like
Homicide Gang.
Let's say like Drake or something.
You guys
Kendrick,
need to watch this.
Drake, all that. If they're using their voices to make their song hot, that's when I'm like, nah.
Right.
Just because they actually do that for a living and they're getting it taken from them.
Yeah.
You know, because there was that one that came out that almost got nominated for a Grammy. And it wasn't Drake.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but it got it. Like people were saying it was going to get nominated for Grammy. Then after all the backlash, the you know, chairman of the Grammys was like, no, we're not going to give him a Grammy. He's not nominated. Like
because he didn't really even do it.
But he didn't really even do it.
Look anything. At this shit. AI is making movies now. This shit is so fucking funny. Oh my God. Can you make a big screen?
This summer.
We love you, Max.
Get ready. Save me, Max. Go. And steal us. Final justice. The first justice. Mr. Steel.
Vin Diesel.
Surprise. You're under arrest. I don't think so, Mr. Steel.
But see, I would call this satire too.
See, yeah, I'd call that satire.
He said, "What in the hell?"
And there's.
See, that's just, yeah, that's satirical.
Oh, that's great.
It's hard to say because the technology is developing so fast. We don't really know where it's going to end up. But there are people that are starting to make, I think, valid arguments that we might be actually nearing the peak, which maybe would be a good thing.
You think we can only take it so far?
If it gets a little bit better than that, then Hollywood will just fire all the actors and just start making movies that way.
But
because that's
sucks.
The level that entertainment is at, is that people would just go pay money to go see that.
I mean, I can't.
I agree, it sucks.
I can't admit that.
I think they would, but like not every time.
I watch more animated things than I do like live action things. But I do also know that a lot of these animated shows are doing live action, you know, like people doing the
mo-cap.
Action.
They
and
do
you're,
mo-cap,
yes.
Yeah.
You're yes. talking about hentai, right?
I really hope I'm not talking about hentai. Oh my God. Could you imagine like, oh my God. Hentai using motion capture?
My mother watches this.
That would be crazy.
What,
do you
hentai?
Realize how realistic that
yeah,
would be?
Yeah, that would be crazy though, for real.
That would be insane.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That'd be insane. Fun.
Have you ever seen
Beowulf? I don't know how I feel about
well, that's,
that.
Well, that's you guys' next business venture. You're ready to...
Motion capture hentai, dude.
I don't know how to code shit.
OnlyFans is a thing. We could make this a reality.
I actually downloaded Python on my laptop, but
yeah.
I still... Like, I know how to, like, make it say words, and that's it.
I got about halfway through coding tic-tac-toe in Python, and
okay.
then I got bored.
Yeah,
and I never
it's very
went back
boring.
To it.
I was... You have to have some kind of goal in mind. Like, I want to do this with Python. I want to make, you know, this is what how I want to make money.
See, I know how to make websites with Sublime Text, but I've not used much of Python. But I do want to start learning how to code Raspberry Pis.
Mm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. I don't know
like,
what that is.
It's like a little hard drive, basically. And you can program it to do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
Like, most people are using these Raspberry Pis, and they're making, like, mini... NES systems mm-hmm. that they can just like hook up to their TV via HDMI.
Yeah.
And they can play just like a plethora of downloaded torrents of these games, you know? So they don't have to, you know, mm-hmm. obviously they're pirating the fucking games.
Yeah.
But
they should.
That's how
everyone should pirate games. Everyone should pirate
thank
games.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you. Somebody
this,
fucking said
this
it.
This is going to be our.
Somebody fucking said it. Because, dude.
This is on TikTok.
I was thinking about, just like I was mentioning with like Apex Legends earlier, the concept of entertainment via gaming used to be you buy the game and enjoy.
Yep.
Now, with micropay and like the in-app purchases and shit like that, it's they give you the basis for free.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Hide your kids, hide your wife. They give you the base game for free. And then they say, if you want to make the game more fun, you pay us more every time we give you something to make it more fun.
They've probably made it's a fucking dick ton of money. Yeah, exactly. And this is what you were talking about
and
earlier.
And it all started with DLCs. That's where it all began. Because I remember back when I got Fallout 3, paid $60 for the game.
Yeah, me too.
Such a good game.
Such a good game. Paid $60
worth
for the game.
Worth every dollar.
And then Mothership Zeta came out. $10. Me and my brother, we're like, okay.
New games $10. Now are like $80.
That's what I'm saying. The
Diablo 4 was $80.
The new freaking Call of Duty was $75.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not buying it.
No.
I won't lie. No. I did just spend $68 on Baldur's Gate 3.
Well, that's different.
I mean, you're supporting a good studio, so.
Do you know what like game that is?
Yeah, yeah, I haven't played it, but everybody I know has played it. Someday
Baldur's
I'm going
gussy. Oh, Baldur's gussy.
I don't like that word.
I don't either.
I'm going to play that game someday, but I haven't yet. Mustered the strength to
gussy?
Devote that much time to it. Can you not?
Can you type in Baldur's Gussie real quick? No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
No, the reason I call it Baldur's Gussie is because my brother told me a story about when he was playing Baldur's Gate where he basically had the option to either kill or fuck a bear.
Oh,
and he fucked that bear.
he fucked the
shit out of it.
I'm actually kind of scared to come up on that. I don't know what I'm going to choose.
He thought it would be like a coy, like satirical, like, you know, they like lay down and then the thing pans up and away, like insinuating, yes, we are fucking. No. Full view. He was railing the shit out of a bear and I walked in and saw that. And from then on out, we called it Baldur's Gussie.
There's like five different types of penises you can choose to have on the game. You can have a circumcised penis, an uncircumcised one. It's insane.
It's about representation.
You can have an outer and an inner. To a whole nother level.
I was so shocked. There are so many like customizations. I think you can make your character be like autistic or something. Like,
I'm just joking. I made that up.
That would be awesome, though. Do you realize the type of support they would get out of that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I don't know. I think that's going into territory. Maybe cut that. Yeah, sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Oh, God. So yeah, Baldur's Gate, great game. Haven't played it yet. It's definitely on my list.
It's great.
Let me finish the Shadow of the Erdtree, and then someday I'm gonna get back. I downloaded Disco Elysium finally.
Wait, what?
The Disco Elysium.
I never played that.
It was really popular like 5 years ago or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know when it came out.
Yeah.
It's kind of a point and click adventure RPG kind of game.
Those are fun.
But it's the voice acting is so good. Mm-hmm. It's like from the first 10 seconds of the game, the voice actors just like grab you by the ears and are like, you are going to play this game and you're not going to skip any of the dialogue because it's all voice acted and you're just going to sit there and listen to all of it because they're so good.
Wait. Is this implied or how are they telling you that you're going to?
No, I'm just like metaphorically.
Really
like, the voice act, like the first 10 seconds, the voice actor's narrating the intro and I'm like, oh, I'm going to play this game so much.
I mean, that's how I feel about Halo's voice acting.
Yeah.
Like, dude, freaking the Arbiter's voice.
Yeah, he has a dope voice.
Kill me or release
It's definitely
me
a black dude, though.
It is.
Yeah.
And he's very good at what he does.
What? Okay, blah, blah, blah. I can't talk. Can we look up who does the voice for the Arbiter? I actually kind of want to know.
Dude, he's so good at what he does.
What is your favorite game, though?
My favorite game.
Is it Diablo 4?
No.
It was just something you were into for a little bit.
That is Keith David who does the Arbiter.
I never would have thought that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I enjoyed bits of Diablo 4. I really liked the season of loot when they fixed the loot. I feel like the itemization is a lot better. But they immediately said, "Okay, we're going to do a DLC now," and I'm like, "It's just, you know, I got to the end game. I got myself an Uber Unique, and I was just like, I've kind of reached the peak of what you can do in this game.
Yeah, and
I
don't, to do it all over again.
I played every class. I don't want to do it anymore." I sank a lot of time into it, but I'm not going to buy the DLC.
You should try Baldur's Gate
Absolutely.
If you like role-playing games, because Will actually plays D&D. Do you like to play D&D?
I've played D&D a couple times in the past.
The blow-up of D&D.
Do you want to join our group?
Crazy. Oh, boy. That would be too many commitments. So I play other role-play systems.
Oh, so you do play D&D.
So my first role-playing game was GURPS, generic universal role-playing system, about the least sexy name you could have.
I don't know what that is.
He knows what that is.
This guy knows. I was introduced to GURPS when I was like 13 or something. What's cool about GURPS is that you can do, it's generic, so you can do any setting. You can do super high tech, you can do fantasy, you can do low tech. If you want to do a role-playing game where you're a bunch of cave people, like fighting saber-toothed tigers, you could just do that with the system. It's very flexible.
Oh, that's cool.
Or if you want to have a game where everybody's a superhero and they can fly and shoot lasers
out of their eyes. So it's basically like a sandbox role-playing game.
Yes. And I've played that a number of times over the years. I've done a couple. I got about halfway through...
1985.
So you don't want to join our D&D group.
Well, okay, so right now I'm...
we're actually trying to like make one. So
I'm currently, maybe at some point in the future, I'm currently in a long-term Delta Green campaign.
I don't know what
with
is.
A group of friends. So Delta Green is
Will
a
is your guy. He knows all this shit.
Oh, cool, cool. I have not really DM'd yet, but someday I'm going to. I'm actually really enjoying Dimension 20. They're doing Never Stop Blowing Up. Oh, it's so good. Oh, my God.
I have no idea.
My partner's been watching like Critical Role obsessively for a long time now, and also Dimension 20. And I was always just kind of like, hey, it's your thing. That's fine. You want to wind down in the evenings. I don't get it, but whatever. You can have your me time, and I'll have my me time.
Yeah.
But then she got me watching Dimension 20 Never Stop Blowing Up. It's phenomenal. I love it. And I like what so to get back around to the Dungeons and Dragons thing, it turns out I really enjoy the role-playing aspect, not so much the crunchy, like, I'm going to swing my battle axe and use my skill and roll these dice. Yeah. Like, that's fine, but I like it when that's more toned back and the role-playing and the problem-solving and the character interactions are like at the forefront.
I think we would have such a good group. I think you should think on it more. See, actually, I'm going to text you about it.
It's funny you say that, because my brother is actually playing D&D as we speak, literally right this second.
Nice.
I bet Brandon would also join our group.
I don't know if he would, because he's actually DMing a game very soon.
Fuck.
But, like, dude, he'll close his door on nights where he knows it's going to get thematic and shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, like, I've just gotten used to it at this point. It's been, like, 4 or 5 years that he's been doing this. So, like, when he closes his door and I just hear him screaming in his room, I know he's not angry at nothing.
You will not take the ring from me.
You will not take it from me.
Yeah, so it's
you turned her against me.
So I'm in Delta Green, and I just now committed to Call of Cthulhu, which is the system that Delta Green is based off of. It's a little bit crunchier rules-wise, but my good friend that's going to be DMing it has promised that it's going to be role-play heavy, so I'm like, okay, as long as you say so.
Yeah.
So I've got two role-play commitments right now.
Well,
there's only so many days in the week. But
if that
maybe
doesn't
at
work
some point,
out...
Yeah. Well, at some point, we'll be done with Delta Green. We've done, like, 7 or 8... missions now with 2 different DMs and there's only so many out there. So at a certain point, we're just going to have played everything there is.
I do want to kind of play a Star Wars themed playthrough. I actually haven't even talked to you about this. Would you be dope or like down with that?
I have a coworker that's running a Star Wars D&D session currently.
That's one I often thought about was a Star Wars one, because I would go Sith.
I feel like it's like asking a girl for her fucking number when you ask people to play D&D. You're like, oh, would you maybe want to?
Would you maybe want to?
God, I'm so nervous.
Know. Would you maybe
want to say yes?
Play some D&D, maybe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's
crazy
feels
how
like
much it blew up, really.
Yeah.
No, dude.
I mean, that's COVID.
Exactly.
The pandemic and really set it off.
Since we're
we
on.
We arrive in the town of Isildur.
Since we're on the subject of nerdy shit. Do you play any like card games like Magic or anything
like
that?
Magic.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
And I didn't know that about you.
What's your deck?
I don't really have a deck right now. So, I mean, I have decks. I haven't really played Commander in years. I still have my Commander decks, but every time I think about them, I'm like,
Commander decks?
It's 100 card singleton, and you have a single legendary creature that's your commander that its colors restrict the colors of your deck. So if you have a commander that's black and white, you can only have cards in your deck that are black or white or colorless.
It sounds racist.
I did pick bad colors, I guess. Red, green, blue. I've got a red, green, blue deck. You can only put red cards, green cards, and blue cards in it.
I had a black and green for a little bit.
Yeah.
Black and green.
So I still have those decks, but I keep thinking, like, man, I should just sell those. Because I never play them, and Magic cards are, like it or not, are stocks now.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do play, so there's a format called Cube, which if you're familiar with Booster Draft, where you go to a store and you buy three packs of cards, and then you sit down with seven other people, you open one of them, you take a card out of it, and then pass the rest to your left, and you get past another pack, and you take a card out of it, and you draft a deck. It's mm-hmm. called Limited. That's my favorite format. Draft is really fun. And there's a format called Cube where instead of buying packs, you just have a set, a singleton set of cards. It could be 360 cards or 450 cards or 540 cards, multiples of 90 typically people
okay.
do. And you draft with that. So you make packs with that and you draft it with a table of friends. Been curating a cube since like 2010 or something.
Okay.
So it's like a long-term project, and acquiring the cards is fun and deciding what goes in and what comes out.
I've known you for like 4 years. I don't know any of this shit about you.
Never mentioned it.
That's what happens when you sit down and talk for an hour.
See, I agree with you with the whole drafting thing. I've never tried exactly what you're talking about, but like what I've done before, because I play Yu-Gi-Oh! Mm-hmm. is what I play.
I played that in the past, yeah.
And what I would do is sometimes I would take my bulk, just like my bulk cards mm-hmm. that I have, and I would try to make a deck out of just my random bulk,
mm-hmm.
make one or two decks out of them, put three legendaries out of my binder in each deck,
mm-hmm.
and then just see which one does better.
Yeah, just mix it up.
You know what I mean?
It gives you a lot of variety.
And of course, I've got two, technically three main decks that I use, you know, and those ones I've stocked full with, like, they've got illegal cards. They've got cards that aren't even supposed to be in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I have Orca cards in there just because I feel like it, you know? Like the deep fake cards that, like, they look real, but they're not.
Oh, so that's what I do these days. So I at a certain point, I was like, I'm not going to spend money on cards for my cube anymore. Because the only reason to play with real cards is if you're going to go to a tournament. Because mm-hmm. it turns out you can get really cheap, really high quality proxies now.
Oh, yes, you can.
I am lost. I have no idea what.
So a proxy is any representation, anything that's used to represent a real card. It could be something as simple as a different card that's got a Sharpie written on it with a Sharpie that says what it's supposed to be.
And you can use that in like competitions?
No.
That's casual.
Use proxies in competitions. But if you're just playing with a group of friends,
and they don't care.
And they don't care, right? As long as everybody agrees. As
I would
long
care.
As it's consensual.
See, because
that's non-consensual. That's card rape.
Well, see, because also
and I say that's financial gatekeeping, because you know that means the person that has the most money
Which
gets
one's
to have
the best evil?
Deck.
Exactly.
Financial gatekeeping is the worst season.
But also, I mean,
you're excluding people from participating in something that's supposed to be fun, right?
Well, okay. I was assuming that everyone already has a deck of cards.
Well, see, here's my
but
thing.
But they don't, right?
Right.
Here's
you're
my
not
thing
born
about
with a deck
proxy.
Of cards.
Right. You're not born with that silver spoon of cards. And you're not.
The proxies that I use, because Yu-Gi-Oh! In the series, there's a lot of cards in the series that are awesome, but they only happen in the anime. Or if they were in the anime, then in the real card sets, their effects were completely different.
Right.
Well, can we do a camera check real quick?
So they're like custom cards, but they're based off of cards from the show or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you, sir.
So basically, these cards, like, there's two off the top of my head, like, in particular, and these ones are just really popular because everyone knows them. Like, if you've watched the anime, play the game, whatever. Card of Sanctity, the real effect in the real game says you discard your hand and draw two cards. The effect in the anime is each player draws till they have six cards in their hand.
Yeah, I want to play with that card.
A broken effect.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Broken. And then the card that I use in my real deck is called Card of Demise. It was a card that Kaiba used. Now, the real effect of the card is, like, you draw, you know, you discard your hand and then draw three cards. And at the end of the turn, if you didn't use the cards, you discard them. But the anime effect is you draw till you have five in your hand. And if you don't, like, whatever's in your hand in five turns, you just send to the graveyard.
So I had Yu-Gi-Oh cards until, so my mom is totally cool with all that shit, but my grandma thinks it's Satan. And
so it is a little satanic.
It is a little satanic.
But that just makes it even cooler.
There was a lot of censorship that they had to do to Yu-Gi-Oh cards about, like, religious like deities or religious symbolism, such as like Exodia. There was a pentagram behind him.
Yeah, oh, that shit. Actually happened in magic too.
Yes,
there which was is a lot which is funny because when in when it's done by Western card developers, it's deliberately invoking. I mean, in either case, it's deliberately invoking it. But it's and I only learned about this recently when like Japanese artists invoke Christian symbolism, it's done in a kind of a very different way than Western artists do. It has a different meaning. It's
very
different. It's kind of actually cultural appropriation. They're saying we're taking this symbology and the associated ideas and putting it in a different context to kind of make our own point with it.
Basically, what like the Romans did with every single civilization they encountered. Yeah.
But like pretty much. Like I've never watched Neon Genesis Evangelion, but there's a lot of like Christian symbolism and imagery in that.
I couldn't
and
get
it's
into
not because
it.
They're Christians.
I tried to watch that show, and I don't know if I'm just like
that show is amazing.
I literally tried to watch it, and I couldn't get into it. And I think it's because I'm
the
I'm,
movies are killer too.
What's the word when like you have things that like ruin other things for you? You know what I'm saying when like it's so good like when I watch
you're like
Baki,
associating something else with
well no okay so
what
like
ruined it for you
well like okay
yeah that's a better question what ruined it
I can't watch Castlevania and Baki and then go back fucking 20 years to an anime that has
oh,
you
shit.
Know what I'm saying
okay.
I don't know what the word for that would be I forget
like you can't cross time periods like that
I'm a spoiled that's a word. So, yeah, I don't know.
Just like, because of the animation quality now?
Yeah,
like the audio quality, animation quality?
Yeah, it's just
that can be a real
issue.
Barrier to going back and appreciating older art.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's like what's weird about me is that
now.
I can't watch some of the newer ones because I like most of the older ones.
I agree. There are some old, like, I like the old Berserk. That's one of my favorites. It's so fucking good.
Berserk
like,
is good.
Let's not forget the GOAT, Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Z is probably, like, my favorite.
Let's not forget about this GOAT right here.
Oh, here we go.
The blue eyes, white dragon. That's the fucking GOAT right there. And Dark Magician. Dark Magician's the GOAT.
Can we get an eagle screech?
I had those back in the day.
There it is.
Perfect.
Oh, I need to put the Yu-Gi-Oh sounds on there, like when they lay the card down.
That would be a good one, yeah, actually.
Something like that.
Yeah.
We summon the eagle boys.
What if we had our own? We should have our own card.
Well, it sounds like this is the guy to do it. He's making custom cards. Yeah. So,
you know, we're making it happen out here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So we're at an hour and a half. Are you guys ready to wrap this up?
I think we're ready to wrap this up.
Is there more that we want to talk about? No, we good?
I think we good, man.
Okay. We talked about consciousness a little bit. We touched on it.
We did. Well, thank you for watching the Eagle Boys, and we hope to see you next time.
Colin, thank you so much for joining us today and joining us on the podcast. We definitely enjoyed having your knowledge, your company today, and we look forward to having you again in the future.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and I'll quickly plug myself. I do have a blog,
I forgot.
No, it's okay. I'm going to squeak it in at the end
ahead,
here. This is the shameless self-promotion. Because I guess that's what you're supposed to do.
We wanted it. We wanted it.
I write, I guess they're still called blogs. I'm on Substack. Under a pseudonym because I'm mysterious like that. Robert Roanoke. Maybe you can put that in the the show notes.
Yeah, we can.
And
I
write about stuff like consciousness and philosophy and AI. So stuff that we like to talk about. My hot takes.
Everyone likes hot takes.
Check it out.
So everyone, check that out. That'll be in the link in the description below.
Robert Roanoke.
I've read quite a few of them. They're good.
And we enjoy everybody so much for watching our podcast. We enjoy having these guests on, and we hope to continue doing it in the future. Thank you, everybody, so much for watching, and we will see you in the next one. Be sure to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, as well as check out our Instagram and TikTok. Colin, once again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Colin.
Thanks for having
me. And we will see you all in the next one.
Peace.